Amen. Praise God. Let's go in our Bibles today to Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. And Carl, I don't know, did you get that text message I sent you where I added those other three references? Matthew 12, Jonah 1, and Philippians 2. I don't know if you got that. Okay, well then let's go to Luke chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 22, verses 23, verses 24, and verses 25. We were in Luke 7 last week, and there's a couple of things that I would like to maybe next week even go back to the beginning of Luke chapter 8 and catch up, but I really wanted to talk about this today. So Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25, hear the word of the Lord today. One day, One day he got into a boat with his disciples and said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." And now bear in mind this, in some places it's called the lake, in some other places it's called the sea. This was the Sea of Galilee. It's also called Lake Gennesaret, also called the Sea of Tiberias. It was a freshwater lake. It was not the ocean, but it was wide enough to where you couldn't see to the other side, and they would call it the sea. And he said, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, verse 23, and as they sailed, he, being Jesus, fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. In other words, the boat was filling up with water. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. This isn't in my notes, but please make note that Jesus did not respond to their fear. He did not speak to their fear. He just spoke to the elements of the storm. He did not respond to their fear. He just spoke. When he woke and rebuked the wind, the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was calm. Verse 25. He said to them, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying one to another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him?" Let's go to the Lord today. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Open up our minds, open up our understanding, God. Let us be nourished and strengthened with your word today, God. Help us, let your word be a light under our path. God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's talk about this passage here. I want to call this lessons learned in the storm. Lessons learned in the storm. And you look at this text and you ask yourself, well, exactly what is going on here? Exactly what's going on? And you look at one of the things that this isn't really the crux of my message, but it needs to be mentioned as far as what's going on here is Jesus is again showing himself the fulfillment. And we've talked about this repeatedly in the book of Hebrews, that Jesus was the better Abraham, that Jesus was the better Moses, that Jesus was better than the angels, and Jesus, you know, he's the better Jeremiah, he's the better Isaiah. And you look in Luke chapter 8 here, and you read about Jesus being asleep during a storm in the bottom of the ship. And that ought to kind of start, you want to look at that Old Testament, and you want to see, you know, what is there in the Old Testament about this? Well, if you look at Jonah chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5, Jonah 1 verses 4 and 5, Jonah is on a boat. Jonah is on a boat not for because he was being obedient to the Lord. Jonah was on this boat to what? Escape from the presence of the Lord. Jesus got on this boat as a fulfillment of his ministry. Jonah got on the boat in disobedience. And it says that the Lord, verse 4 of Jonah 1, the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah, just like Jesus, you notice, please look at this. Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So you notice what Jesus was doing here on the Sea of Galilee was basically the same thing that Jonah had done back in his day. Jonah did it out of disobedience. Jonah did it not having enough faith that God was going to bring him through things. He was trying to escape God's call for his life. Jesus even connected himself to Jonah. If you go to Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 and 40, in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 and 40, it says that Jesus answered them and said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Look at on verse 40. It's not up on the screen here, I guess. But if Carl, if you could get Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 on the screen. "For just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days," this is Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, "so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." So Jesus was linking himself to Jonah and saying, listen, you know, Jonah finds his fulfillment in me, because just as Jonah was a type, Jonah, so many other prophets were a type of me. I'm the better Moses. I'm the better Jeremiah. Well, folks, guess what? Jesus Christ is the better Jonah. And so you look at this, and that kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of what's going on here. But let's look at verse 22. Verse 22 says, "One day he got into a boat with his disciples." It doesn't talk about when it happened. It was just one day. Luke was a little bit selective about the stories that he included in his gospel. He didn't include everything. For him, his telling of his gospel was not just to tell a chronology of every event that happened. He wanted to highlight some specific events that told people who Jesus was and what his purpose was. And verse 23, it says that they sailed and he fell asleep and a windstorm came down on the lake. And you say, well, Brother Wiggins, what's going on there? Well, let me just say this, and this is something you can take for yourself today. Jesus was at peaceful rest even during the midst of a storm. Even though the boat was swamping or being swamped with water, I believe the original Greek there would be comparable to saying that the boat was swamped by becoming swamped by water. In Jesus's mind, there was no present danger. There was no present threat. Amen. Jesus was, they were all safe because Jesus was with them. So it's amazing to me that Jesus was, he was, how powerful is Jesus? How much authority does Jesus have? I'll tell you how much power he has. He wasn't even threatened by the storm enough to even, he didn't even wake up until they woke him up. Look at verse 24. "They went in and woke him saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm." Well, let me tell you what's going on here. Up until that time, Jesus had taken authority. They had seen Jesus take authority over food and drink. Remember in John, the beginning of John, when he changed the very first miracle, he changed the water into wine. Jesus showed that he had authority over food and drink. They had seen Jesus take authority over sickness and disease because he had healed many. They had seen many sick people healed. They had seen blind eyes open. They had seen deaf ears unstopped. Amen. And so they knew that he had authority over food and drink because he changed the water to wine. They knew he had authority over sickness and disease because he had healed so many people. And then they had seen him cast out demons. And so they knew that he had authority over Satan, over demons, over all of the powers of darkness. They didn't realize that because Jesus had already taken authority. But now they are realizing that, oh my goodness, not even the very forces of nature itself are without the control of him. In other words, he controls the wind, he controls the waves, he controls the sea. And they just could not, they could not understand that. It's just that, again, it's just like, yeah, we know that the water was changed to wine. We know that the we know that sickness could be healed by him. We know that even death, remember, he had already at this point, I believe, even raised Lazarus from the dead. He had, or the widow's son there in Nain, we had read about that a few weeks ago. He had raised the widow's son from the dead. They knew he had power over death. They knew he had power over sickness. They knew he had power over demons, but they just couldn't get in their mind that not only does he have power over all of those, he also has power over the wind and the storms and the sun and the clouds. And so Jesus says this in verse 25, and I'm going somewhere. I'm laying a little bit of a foundation here. In verse 25, he said to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And they were afraid and they marveled, saying one to another, who then is this? He commands even the winds and the water to obey him. Well, that should have told them a little bit about who he was, because who was it that divided the sea in Egypt when Moses and the children of Israel were escaping out into the wilderness? It was God that had power over the waters, to divide the sea in the book of Exodus. If you'll remember, when Joshua and the children of Israel were going to go into the promised land, what happened to the Jordan River? It parted. Why? Because God was showing them that, listen, I've got power over the very elements of nature as well. And it was the God, the same God that had powers to tell the sea to swallow up Jonah, and also power to spit him back out on safe on dry land. You know, Jesus was showing them that he had the same power that God had in the Old Testament when it came to the Red Sea, when it came to the parting of Jordan, that God did that in the Old Testament. And Jesus was saying, listen, if you'll see the works that I'm doing, if you'll see the miracles that I'm producing, it's going to show you who I am, that I'm not just a man, I'm not just a prophet, but I am God. I am God here manifest in the flesh, taking authority and dominion over the very elements of nature, just like God did in the Old Testament. And then Jesus says this. He says, in Luke, he says, where is your faith? And this is kind of getting kind of toward the crux of what I'm saying here, is he says, where is your faith? And this story is recorded in Matthew. It's recorded in Mark. And then we also read it in Luke. If you look at this phrase in Matthew, when it came here, in Matthew 8 and 26, it says that he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of what? Little faith. So he didn't say that it didn't seem like he said that they had no faith at all. He just said little faith. And then Luke, he made it spoken in a little bit stronger and said, where is your faith? As though the faith was somehow lacking. And then you look at Mark's version of this. Mark used a lot stronger language. Mark used very strong language. You know, if you will pardon his French, so to speak. Amen. It says in Mark chapter 4, he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? In other words, Jesus was saying, if you go by Mark's rendering of this, Jesus was saying, my goodness, you watched me change the water to wine. You watched me heal the centurion's servant. You watched me raise from the dead the widow's son that was in Nain. You've watched all of these miracles. You've seen all of these signs, all of these wonders. And then all of a sudden, a little bit of wind comes up, a little bit of clouds stir. And guess what? You're worried and you think you're going to die. And so he was saying, man, it was, all those miracles were not enough to get you to believe. All of those signs and wonders. I've healed so many people. You know, folks, you have watched. He was basically they had watched him cast out demons, taken authority over darkness. And Mark says, why are you afraid? Why are you so afraid and have still you have no faith? After seeing all these miracles, signs, and wonders, you still have no faith. And I want to kind of zero in on that today about still not having faith. And I want to point out one thing about this story that I think is very, very important to understanding why the disciples had problems. Why did the disciples, after seeing all of these miracles, all these signs, all these wonders, why did they have such a problem? That's what I want to know, folks. That's what's going to help you, and that's what's going to help me in the year 2021, is here you've got good people that they believed in him. They had taken him. They believed in him. They had enough faith to get in the boat. When he told them, hey, let's get in the boat and sail across the lake to the other side, they had enough faith to get in the boat. But yet when it came down to it, they did not have the faith that they needed. And I've pondered this passage many times, wondering why, after seeing all of those miracles and signs, why did they have problems with this? Why could they, after seeing him raise the dead, why were they worried about a little bit of wind and rain and some waves? Well, I want to read one verse out of Mark's rendition of this story. Mark included a detail that Matthew did not include. Mark included a detail that Luke did not include. We read this morning, when we read this passage, we read from the book of Luke, chapter 8. Well, Mark included a detail that Matthew never included and that Luke never included. Let's look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. On that day when evening had come, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. You can get Mark 4 and 35 up there, Carl. Yes, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across. If you'll remember, when we read this out of Luke, it just said, one day, Jesus got into the boat and told his disciples to go. That's all that it really just said. It just said, one day, Jesus got in the boat and told his disciples to come. That is exactly the way that Matthew also worded this. But Mark gives us one little detail here about this situation, that evening had come. So what does that tell you about when they got out on the boat? Imagine yourself, it's getting to evening, the sun's getting ready to go down. Now you ask yourself, if you were going to get on a boat, think about this, the evening was coming. By the time they got out on the sea, in the middle of the sea, when the storm started, what would it have been? It would have been dark. It would have been very dark. And it's one thing to be on the sea in a storm, it's quite another thing to be on the sea in a storm in the middle of darkness. Because if you could imagine that if there were clouds overhead, I don't know what clouds there were or weren't, but a lot of times when you get a windy, stormy condition, it makes you think of clouds. That would mean no stars, no moon, no light. You know, this is the primitive times. They didn't have electric lights on the boat to shine out onto the waters. So here they are out in the middle of the sea, in the midst of the dark. And not only are waves hitting them, but they can't even see which direction those waves are coming from. They don't know if there's a bad wave that's fixing to crash in on them right now, or if they're going the right way. They had no idea. And that, my friend, is what I think got the disciples worried. That's what got the disciples where their faith was running on low, was they weren't just in the middle of a storm, but folks, they were in the middle of a storm in the dark. They were in the middle of a storm in the dark. And this may not seem like a very good comparison, but I will tell you right now, that things are a lot different. I've done a lot of backpacking in my skinnier days. I did a lot of backpacking and spent a lot of nights out in the wilderness underneath the stars by myself. And I would hike sometimes on five day or 6 day or 7 day backpacking trips and be hiked back in where I would be 20, 21, 22, 23 miles, not off the nearest road, but even off the nearest trailhead. And I would be way back in. But you know what? I could walk around all day long and I was fine. I could, in the middle of the day, I could go into my tent and lay down in my tent and lay my head back in the middle of the day, take a nap, and have absolutely no worry. But I don't know what it is. I can't explain what it is. But at nighttime, those woods turn into a different place. You know what? I can remember getting in my tent in the middle of the day and laying down and taking a nap and going to sleep and getting woken up by some sound outside my tent and think, man, what is that? Oh, I bet you that's just some squirrels out playing and rustling in the leaves. Stupid squirrels. I wish they wouldn't make and roll over and go right back to sleep. But I'll tell you what, I've had that happen at night. One night I was asleep in my tent, and I mean something woke me out of a cold sleep, and I was hiked. I was about 16 miles back in. I was by myself. There was nobody for miles, and all of a sudden there was a rustle outside my tent, and I immediately reached over, and I felt the comforting feeling of cold steel of a revolver right there in my hands, and I got that revolver in my hands. And I started unzipping the tent because there was this commotion going on outside my tent. And in my mind's eye, we're talking some huge bear. I'm going to unzip my tent and there's going to be this bear waiting for me with his teeth showing. And I'm going to unzip my tent, get out there. And I've got my gun already. And I unzip my tent and I have my flashlight and I shined it in the direction of the tent and or of the sound. And guess what? It was my backpack and there was a squirrel. I had left some chocolate in one of the pockets of my backpack, and there was a squirrel, and not a very large squirrel, mind you, a pretty small one, actually. He was pretty small, and he was trying to get in that pocket, trying to chew his way into that pocket to get that chocolate. And what had me all hot and bothered was a squirrel. Folks, I want to tell you something. Things change when it gets dark. And the disciples had seen Jesus turn the water into wine in the middle of broad daylight. They had seen Jesus bring back to life, you know, the widow's son that had died. He did that in broad daylight, folks. You hear what I'm saying? When he healed the centurion's servant, he did it in broad daylight. But right now, during this time, those disciples were not in broad daylight. It wasn't high noon. No, it was pitch black dark, and they were getting tossed about on streams around by the wind and into the around the water. And so the question that I guess I would need to ask us is, I know Jesus's disciples had the faith to walk with him in the light of day. But the question was, did they have the faith to walk with him even in the nighttime when they couldn't see where they were going, didn't know what was happening? But as long as Jesus was on board, it was all okay. I want to tell you something, church. I want to trust him in the light of day. I want to trust him when I'm on the mountaintop and there's daylight and there's sun and it's beautiful. But bless God, we also need to trust him when it's nighttime. We also need to trust him when it's darkness all around us, amen. And waves are crashing in, and we don't even know which direction they are, but yet we know that we are safe if we are in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know we're safe. The disciples had the faith when the light was shining, but when it got dark, when they couldn't see, and the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, kind of makes this verse almost have a little different meaning, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." See, that was the problem. And I had never noticed it about this story before as far as Jesus rebuking the storms of the sea and all of that. It happened in the midst of the darkness, amen, when they couldn't see what was going on. When it's dark and all of these waves are crashing in, they couldn't see what to do. They needed to walk by faith and not by sight. You hear what I'm saying? Faith is saying, listen, I don't need to see it to believe it. Gee, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that the Bible is the word of God. That's enough for me. Even though I might seem like I'm in darkness right now, I will know that if I'm in Jesus, everything is all right. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12 says it this way. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth and he says, for now we see in a mirror dimly. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly. In other words, right now, folks, it's not broad daylight. Right now, we still have things we don't understand. Right now, there's still darkness around us. He says, right now, we see in a mirror dimly. We can see bits and pieces. We can see forms and shapes, but we can't see full definition. Right now, we see in a mirror dimly, but there's coming a day that face to face we're going to see him. And that right now we only know in part, but then shall I know him as fully as I am known to the people down here on this earth. Even I'm going to know his face and recognize him the same way that people would recognize me. But right now, folks, we've still got darkness that we're walking in. Right now, we walk by faith and not by sight. Right now, we see into a mirror dimly, but we are picking our way. We're using the word of God as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We're following the light, the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God is leading us and guiding us unto all truth. But we have to be led by the Spirit. Why? I'll tell you why. Because it's dark. Because it's dark. And we are living in times right now of great moral darkness, folks. We are living in great moral. Did you know just yesterday I saw, and I'm not saying this to alarm you. This is not in the United States. This is in France. But I read a headline just yesterday that the Prime Minister of France made a statement saying that that evangelical Christians need to be counted as a real danger to society. Imagine that. Not Muslim terrorists, not people that are blowing up buildings, not people that are strapping bombs onto their bodies and then going into some crowded place. No, those aren't the people that are the threats. The Prime Minister of France says the big threat are evangelical Christians. People, he says, these people, this, if you read the statement, I read it yesterday. He says, these people place the word of God on a higher pedestal than the word of the law of France. And that is a danger. You know what? We are living in times of deep moral decay. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter. Jesus, even when it was dark and it was stormy, he was asleep because there was no threat there. As long as they were in Christ, they were going to be okay. And I just want to urge you today that we can walk with him in the daylight and in the sunshine. But bless God, we can also walk with him during times of darkness. Just like the disciples on the sea of that day, on the Sea of Galilee, they were so afraid of the storm. They were all experienced sailors. They were all experienced fishermen. Well, what was the difference? Well, this wasn't just a storm. This was a storm in the middle of the night, in the midst of great darkness. But we can walk by faith even in the darkness. We can walk by faith and be victorious even in the darkness. Though the Old Testament, I can't remember the passage, but he says, I believe it's, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in the darkness, the Lord shall be my light. Let me say that again. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in the darkness, the Lord shall be my light. Oh, God. You know what? I want to tell you, I see so many people around me that they are like ships on a stormy sea that have no anchor. They're floundering in the darkness. They're covered by fear. And in the midst of everything, I want to say, thank God that I've got the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life, that he will guide my path. He will direct my steps, that when I sit in the darkness, the Lord is going to be my light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Church, take comfort in the fact that we do not sit in the darkness without the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and this is, I'm going to bring this to a close. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But then the very next verse says, but the Spirit of the Lord, the King James says, but the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the waters. But if you look in the original Hebrew, what it says is, but the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. So darkness was over the face of the deep, all of the waters, but the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the waters. And in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1, it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. So I will tell you right now today, we might be living in a time of moral darkness, but we are not in the dark if we have Jesus Christ. The disciples were out there on the sea, and they thought they were lost on the sea in the middle of the darkness. But the thing was, they had the Lord Jesus Christ with them. And that's all they needed, folks. That's all they needed. So take comfort today. Take consolation today. Let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we're so thankful for you. Lord, we want to bless your name. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, let your hand be upon our lives. Let your hand be upon this church. Oh, Lord, we need you. We need you. We need your light to guide us. We need your Spirit to guide us, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, we depend upon you. And, Lord, we will not have fear, but we will have faith. And, Lord, we do know that we walk by faith and not by sight. And, Lord, we do know that we see through a glass dimly. But, Lord, you can guide us and you can lead us, oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Jesus' name.